Good morning, Anchor. Happy 4th of July. This is Kaylee Chella. Let's jump right into it. Americans are marking Independence Day with parades, fireworks, and for some, a renewed sense of pride in their 242-year-old nation. For others, a sense of United States divided weighs heavy on its quintessential holiday. From New York to New Mexico, July 4th events will celebrate what Americans have in common. Festivities are as elaborate as Macy's July 4th fireworks show, as gulp-worthy as Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest, and as easygoing as backyard barbecues. But in a country roiled with debate over what it means to be an American, there are even competing televised Independence Day events in the nation's capital. The country's longest-run live national July 4th TV tradition, PBS's broadcast of music and fireworks from the U.S. Capitol's West Lawn, is facing new counter-programming from the White House, which is hosting its own concert in view of the National Park Service's fireworks show. First Lady Melania Trump said in a statement that the White House show would allow Americans to, quote, tune in from their homes and be part of the festivities. In New York, the Macy's fireworks show over the East River promises 25 minutes of sparkle and awe. Plus the West Point Band and entertainers including Kelly Clarkson, Ricky Martin, and Keith Urban on NBC's broadcast. Meanwhile, some communities in the American West have canceled their planned July 4th fireworks because of high wildfire dangers, and some others are doing drone light displays instead of pyrotechnics. But fireworks shows will go ahead in such places as Denver and Colorado Springs. In another July 4th tradition, new U.S. citizens will be sworn in at locales around the country. They'll pledge allegiance to a country where some people lament that the ability to debate respectfully the toughest issues of the day seems hopelessly lost. For Brad Messier, a chef in Portland, Maine, the holiday, quote, seems to illustrate the glaring divides that we have. He asks, quote, how much does going and seeing fireworks really bring people together? But in rural Shelby County, Alabama, retired truck driver Floyd Champion views these as the best of times in America. He said, quote, I love the holiday because it's our independence. The Thai soccer teammates, stranded more than a week in a partly flooded cave, said they were healthy on a video released Wednesday, as heavy rains forecast for later this week could complicate plans to safely extract them. The 12 boys and their coach are seen sitting with Thai Navy SEALs in the dark cave with their visibly skinny faces illuminated by the beam of a flashlight. The boys, mini-wrapped in foil warming blankets, take turns introducing themselves, folding their hands together in a traditional greeting, and saying their names and that they are healthy. The video, lasting about a minute, was recorded sometime Tuesday and was posted on the Navy SEAL Facebook page Wednesday morning. The Navy later released two more videos of the boys. The boys, aged 11 through 16, and their 25-year-old coach disappeared after they went exploring in a cave in northern Chiang Rai after a soccer game on June 23rd. The teammates, who were trapped inside when heavy rains flooded the cave, were found by rescue divers late Monday night during a desperate search that drew assistance from experts around the globe. Authorities said the boys, who had been shown Tuesday in a video shot by the British diver who discovered them, were being looked after by seven members of the Thai Navy SEALs, including medics, who were staying with them inside the cave. They were mostly in stable condition and have received high-protein drinks. In all of the videos, the boys have appeared in good spirits. In the most recent videos, a Navy SEAL is shown treating minor cuts on the feet and legs of the boys with antibiotic ointment. Several of the boys are seen smiling as they interact with the Navy SEAL, who cracks jokes. A SEAL commander said Tuesday that there was no rush to bring the group out of the cave, since they're safe where they are. The current flooding situation means the boys would have to dive, which rescue experts have said could be extremely dangerous. While efforts to pump out floodwaters are continuing, some Thai officials have indicated that heavy rains forecast for this weekend could force them to decide the boys should swim and dive out, using the same complicated route of narrow passageways through which their rescuers entered. Chiang Rai's provincial governor said Wednesday that the boys have been practicing wearing diving masks and breathing, but he doesn't believe they have attempted any practice dives. He said it is unknown when an extraction could be attempted, but it is unlikely to be today. Authorities said they were still exploring other options, such as scouring the mountainside for other ways into the cave and finding faster ways to pump the water out. A federal judge on Monday determined the U.S. government is violating its own rules regarding the treatment of people seeking asylum. Judge James Boasberg issued a preliminary injunction ordering the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency to stop what opponents called the arbitrary detention of legitimate asylum seekers. The case in question continues, but the injunction opens up yet another legal front in the multidirectional battle being waged by the Trump administration over immigration. Michael Tan, senior staff attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union Immigrants' Rights Project, said, quote, This ruling means the Trump administration cannot use indefinite detention as a weapon to punish and deter asylum seekers. All immigrants seeking asylum must initially pass a quote-unquote credible fear screening to determine if they face a threat of persecution in their home countries. Those who fail that standard are deported immediately. Previously, those who passed were usually given humanitarian parole while awaiting an immigration hearing, provided they were not considered flight risks or dangers to the public. Under former President Barack Obama's administration, ICE granted humanitarian parole to more than 90% of asylum seekers. Lawyers for the ACLU and other groups argued in May that since the start of President Donald Trump's administration, the number of people granted such parole has dropped to almost zero in five key ICE field offices: Detroit, El Paso, Texas, Los Angeles, Newark, New Jersey, and Philadelphia. Those denied parole have instead been detained. In one case, a former ethics teacher from Haiti has spent more than 18 months in prison. Judge Boasberg, in a 38-page memorandum opinion, concluded that, quote, "the numbers here are irrefutable," and ordered a case-by-case review of all asylum seekers awaiting parole. Meanwhile, the lawsuit will continue with a status hearing on July 10th. Thanks for tuning in. See you tonight. Kaylee Chella, out.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.